today, the Boston Bruins management and ownership brass met with the media following what was 17 players cut from Boston Bruins training camp, sent down to Providence's training camp. Names that were included among those 17 players were Georgi Mrkulov and most notably Fabian Lysell, who on this podcast we mentioned had a slow first week of camp, but really came on in the last week plus. And we'll discuss that storyline, which was probably going to be the key story for me going into this episode. That was until the Days of Our Lives. I mean, I'm sorry, Jeremy Swayman drama saga continued. And
is Days of Our Lives on at 11? Is that similar time, right? Soap operas are like midday.
Yeah. Midday soap. Yeah, this midday
we
soap.
We have interrupted Days of Our Lives.
This midday soap opera was brought to you by Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, Jeremy Swayman, and his agent. But look, Bridget and Scott, let's just jump right into all this because I don't want to steal some of the quotes because there were some good ones. So you guys were at the press conference. Let's get right into it.
Yeah. So let's, I guess, briefly recap like the big quotes here, the big takeaways. In case anyone did miss it, you know, people have real jobs, might not have been following along. So Sweeney off the top, actually, even before that, Charlie Jacobs gives the first opening statement and says, just to get out in front of it, I've been in constant communication with Neely and Sweeney on the Swayman negotiations. Basically, you know, I leave the numbers to them. Okay. Sweeney also briefly touches on it as an opening statement in the first question, says, no real update. You know, we're still in communication. We're still talking. Still a gap there that we have to bridge. Playing the politician. Okay. You know, a couple more questions about it. Neely has not yet been asked, and maybe I should have just addressed this question right to Neely.
We need to start doing that. He's the one who actually tells you stuff.
He is. But I asked Sweeney, were you surprised by Swayman's ask at any point in this process? And he starts to give his politician answer. And Neely jumps in unprompted and says, I was surprised, and laughs, but clearly has now like opened up the door to like, hey, I have some stuff to say, guys.
And then he did.
Yeah. And Kevin Paul DuPont follows up. He had the next question and asks, okay, like what are you surprised by? Or, you know, and so Neely said, you know, goes into it. Dupes then asks him, you know, can you share any specifics about his ask or your offer? And the money quote of the day was Neely says, I'm not going to get into the weeds on what his ask is, but I would have 64 million reasons to play. So very clear that their offer to Jeremy Swayman right now is 8 years, 8 million a year. And this, you know, I think Sweeney obviously is perfectly happy to keep playing diplomacy and not say too much. Cam Neely is just as he was as a player, he is the blunt object, the brute force. He is just going to say what's on his mind. And I think he saw this as his opportunity to air his grievances, air his frustrations with this. And to try to, you know, Cam Neely's job above everything else is protect the image of the spoked bee. Like, ultimately, that is really the team president's job. Is you are essentially the one in charge of your team's image and reputation. And I think this is his way of trying to fight back in the PR battle and put some real pressure on Swayman and his agent.
Well, I think he helped win that PR battle today. I would say that coming out of it, one of my takeaways, besides the fact that Swayman is not going to be back for opening night, which is the main one, is that even with that fact aired out there by both Montgomery and Sweeney, the management was able to kind of turn the finger right back at Swayman and allow everybody to think, okay, well, is he asking for too much? Because 8 million, like that's, that contract sounds, you know, comparable to some other goalies that are like him. And so the conversations that I've had with people, even in the very short time since we got back from the Garden, has been, I think Swayman might be greedy, which people, some people were saying right along. Some of the people I talked to, they were not saying that before. So clearly something that Neely said, which he said with quite a bit of emotion, resonated with fans, and they're not 100%. It's not a one-sided blame game, really. And Neely kind of took the blame and put it back on Swayman a little bit, especially because if you think about in Neely's career, like I don't think he ever was really pushing for this massive contract. It almost makes you want to know what it was. Both Sweeney and Neely's comments kind of made Swayman's agent look like the bad guy, which people can probably jump onto that narrative.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump back a press conference too, to really give the whole picture of why, to Scott's point, Cam Neely feels the need to protect the image of the spoked bee. So you have the last press conference where Don Sweeney addressed a report, a rumor from Ryan Whitney over at Spit and Chicklets that the Bruins offered him 4 years at like 6.2 or something like that. And that Swayman wanted, you know, 8 years, like a McAvoy type deal, 8 years at nine. Rich Keefe at WEEI went on record like probably 3 weeks ago at this point, where Swayman's asking for 10, Bruins won't go more than eight. So from the Bruins perspective, there was this narrative out there that they slapped Swayman across the face with a lowball offer of 4 years and, you know, six and change.
Yeah, didn't and, so I for a second I was thinking maybe the person who hurt, which I believe it was Whitney that put this out there, that it was 6.4 million a year. I was like, maybe he just misheard 64 million.
it's possible. So obviously, but so the Bruins' reputation is like, oh, they're, you know, they're going low. Which Cam Neely, by the way, in the press conference today said he's a former player. He's not a fan of go low, go high, meet in the middle. He likes to deal with comps. And so, and that's how Don Sweeney operates. So the Bruins were feeling as though they were being misrepresented by some reports out there that they were lowballing Swayman. And they wanted to correct the narrative today and say, in not so many words, that we have offered Swayman 8x8. Now, look. It's been such a he said, she said type of negotiation that, like, you don't even know what to believe even when people say it. But let's just assume that what Cam Neely inferred today is accurate, that the Bruins have offered Swayman 8x8 and that was the offer kind of all along. Then, yeah, absolutely, the Bruins are kind of vindicated, and more the fingers should be turned towards Swayman and his agent right now.
Well, I will say we don't know if that was the offer all along. Like, Neely didn't specify when they made that offer.
No, but he did. He never brought an unreasonable offer to the table.
But
sure. But I mean, what each side but deems reasonable but that's why, or unreasonable.
That's why I term it he said, she said, because to me, this whole situation has been kind of dirty. Like, both sides are trying to make themselves look the best they can and maybe not tell the whole story.
Yeah. What I would say is that if Neely's getting up there today and giving that number, I would assume that means that offer's been on the table for at least a little bit, right? Like, they didn't make that offer yesterday, and now he's going up there blurting it out while Swayman's like still thinking it over. Like, I would assume that offer has had to have been out there for a little bit. And either declined or not responded to or not countered or whatever the case might be. You know, Swayman just didn't budge, maybe. You would have to assume that 8x8 has been on the table for a little bit now. So, yeah, you know, just seeing reactions on social media, it's a little split, but it has definitely generated more pro-Bruins, anti-Swayman sentiment than I think we've seen at probably any other point during this. Now, I've also seen pushback the other way of, like, anytime you're negotiating in public, it's a bad move. And that Neely throwing this out there is a bad move. And I understand that side, like that opinion, but I don't agree. In this case, I think what Neely did is the right move. Like I think the team does in some way needed to get it out there that like they're putting a real offer on the table, because the perception has been that they're not, that they're not going on the years, or they're low on the money or whatever. And I even said that on the last podcast, guys. Like I said, if I were the Bruins, because another part of this, so Ryan Whitney on Spittin' Chiclets, when he then responded to Sweeney calling him out, he stood by what he's previously said, the low ball 4x6.2 or whatever it was. He said he stood by that. And he added that he thought 8 years, 8 or 8.2 per year, something around there, would get it done. And that's coming from someone who is admittedly pro player, anti Sweeney. And I said it and I wrote it. I said, if the Bruins haven't put 8x8 on the table, they should do it immediately and leak out to someone that they've done it. Well, Neely just said, screw leaking it. I'm just going to straight up tell you we've done that.
Yeah, it was very strategic.
He was like, here, just do the math on this real quick, guys. 64 mil.
Well, if you think about it, though, right? So, like, from this day forward, okay, so Monday, September 30th until October 7th or October 8th when they start the season, we don't know what's preceded today. But to your point, Scott, like, we all know now, at the very least, there's a $64 million offer on the table. And now the whole world knows it, right? So Swayman's agent and his camp, they can no longer play the, you guys don't know what we're being, like, no. Everybody knows now that they've at least been offered $64 million, and that is completely fair for Jeremy Swayman. Like, there's no lowballing there. And so now everybody knows if he doesn't sign, it's because he's asking for more than that. And that's why you're seeing the Bruins fans' narrative change on Twitter and online and everywhere else, because now they're saying, okay, well, if he doesn't want to sign for $8 million or $64 million overall, like, he and he's trying to reset this goalie market. Now him and his camp, they're just being stubborn. And I think what you saw today was Cam Neely being very strategic, saying, we've offered him $64 million. Now the pressure, I do believe, falls to Swayman's camp, because now they know if a deal gets done, it's because they're asking for more and they're going to come across pretty poorly. So I do think that this was an effort by Cam Neely today to just get this done as soon as possible. Because if you're Jeremy Swayman right now and you're his agent, all eyes are on them, because everybody knows what they've been offered and that it's totally fair, a fair deal for the player. So I think it puts a lot of pressure on Swayman's camp now to get this done.
Yeah, the comments did a few things, because the comments about setting the goal, wanting to set the goalie market, makes it seem like it insinuates that that side of it is the side that's being unfair, the side that's not willing to come to the table. Like, the goal from the agent side is to try to get all of the goalies' prices risen and set the market for them for the future. And when I think people just want to hear that both sides are, the main goal is to get a contract done. And another part of it that has to bother Swayman is they're coming out in public and saying he's not starting opening night right now. So, like, knowing, and based on the comments, them saying he'll probably need over a week to try to get back before, you know, after a deal is done, he'll still need another week on top of it, is what they're saying. Like, they're pushing it back longer, and hearing you're going to miss the start of the season, I don't know if that affects the player. And just his want to be back, I have to assume, is pretty strong. So there could be a little bit of motivation there and a little bit of a push in that way. But I do think that Cam Neely, I wasn't sure if he did that on purpose, Scott. Like, I know you guys are like, oh, it was smartly done up, but I feel like he may have just like spit it out, because this is what I do. Like, sometimes I'm not planning on saying something and then I'm like mad about it, so then I just say it. So I almost wonder if it was premeditated, because to me it didn't feel it.
I think it was I think he knew he was going to talk about Jeremy Swayman and this whole situation today. So I would guess that he had at least planned out like just how much he wanted to say about it.
Like the number, do you think he was planning on saying the number?
I think that line was rehearsed. He knew he was going to say that. That was too quick and clever to have not thought of that beforehand.
Like he, you know, that's like one of those things you say it to your friends and you're like, oh, I wish I could say this publicly. And then he just came out and was like, yeah, I'm saying it. I love it. I'm saying it.
Yeah, I think he at least, if I had to guess, I would bet ahead of time he at least decided that if I'm asked about it, I'm not going to dodge it. And if no one asks me, then, you know, maybe I won't say it. But yeah, it was, and I've already heard people there, and I've heard other people like make this comparison. It's like that was like a Harry Sinden line. Like that's the kind of stuff Harry Sinden used to say about players, where he would just be brutally honest and blunt. And Bridget, it's when you were saying earlier, like you don't know if Mealy was ever looking for a big like obviously not this big because the money's gone so far up. Like I'm sure Mealy wanted money back in the day. And it's like Sinden's the one that he would have been negotiating with. You know, so obviously he's in a different role now. Like he is the management. And so I also saw people saying that, you know, like shame on Mealy, you know, a former player now being a management stooge. And it's like, it's literally his job. Like he's the team president. Who do you think he works for? He doesn't work for the players. Like, you know, like that's the role.
Guys, I think what Cam Neely did today might be the difference between Swayman signing before the regular season versus him signing closer to the December 1st deadline. Like because these negotiations are usually hush hush, it enables the negotiating to continue longer because people are in the dark. Once the public is in the know of an offer, like it really does that. This wasn't a rumor. This wasn't Rich Keefe. This wasn't Courtney Cox. This wasn't Ryan Whitney. This was Cam Neely, president of the Boston Bruins, saying we've offered him $64 million. Now that everybody knows that, it puts a lot of eyes less on the negotiation as a whole and more on Swayman's camp in general. And I think that makes a big difference here. And also,
and by the way, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Charlie Jacobs also talked about how the Bruins are always going to spend to the cap and that they might use a little bit of wiggle room that management asked for a little bit of wiggle room throughout the year for injuries or whatnot. And that he referenced NHL league minimum salaries and how the Bruins have like $8.6 million or around $9 million left in cap space or something like that. And that the delta between leaving a little bit of room versus what Swayman is asking for could be the difference. And it's like, so Swayman's just, it sounds to me, Swayman is literally asking for every single cent remaining of cap space for the team. And it's just, and the Bruins are sitting there like, no, like here are your comps and here's a fair deal. And I just think that, I just think a lot of people are looking at Swayman's camp right now.
Yeah. I was going to say was what you just brought up, Brian, which was the cap space comment and to look at the cap space right now. So it depends whether or not they have the extra forward listed on there. With an extra forward that's at league minimum, that only leaves right about like a little bit less than $9.5 million left for Swayman, which, and obviously you're not going to want to spend right to that line because that would just be dumb. Like nobody spends right to the line because you got to call another guy up that has a slightly different contract or you're stuck in a situation, where it doesn't work, you got to release someone or what have you. So that would mean the contract has to be lower than $9 million really for them to have the wiggle room.
Yeah. And you know, like the whole like resetting the market thing, which again, like Neely was asked directly, you know, do you think he's trying to set the market? And he said, yes, I do. You just can't do that as a restricted free agent who's 2 years out from unrestricted free agency. Like it's just like almost impossible to do. The only goalie who's gotten more than $8 million a year as a restricted free agent was Andrei Vasilevskiy, who got the $9.5 million that he is currently on. He won the Vezina right before he signed that. Like he was the Vezina, he was the best goalie in the world, Vezina Trophy winner. Jeremy Swayman finished 7th in Vezina voting. Like, it's just not the same situation. Vasilevsky had played 60 plus games that year. Like, Swayman hasn't done that yet. So, like, even if you're talking, like, even if you're saying, okay, he's not going to be able to set the unrestricted market like Igor Shesterkin is going to do. Igor Shesterkin is going to reset, you know, above the 10.5 that Carey Price got. He's probably going to get 11, 12, maybe even more. But as a restricted free agent, like, even if you're trying to reset that, like, I know that with Vasilevsky, that was 5 years ago, but it's really hard to, like, justify Swayman getting what Vasilevsky got. Like, they just haven't, they're just not at the same point in their careers. Swayman just hasn't done what Vasilevsky had done to that point. So, in its own way, $8 million for a restricted free agent who's done what Swayman has done actually, like, would in some ways reset the market. Like, again, I've made the Igor Shesterkin comparison. That was only 4 or 5 years ago, and Shesterkin got under $6 million per year. So, like, it, with a relatively similar resume to where Swayman is right now. So, like, you're already bumping up $2+ million from that. So, like, you are changing the market, but it seems like Swayman wants to do so much more than that, where he wants to match the 9.5 that Vasilevsky got, or, like, get paid what, you know, an unrestricted free agent might get. And, like, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think at some point he's going to have to accept that.
I don't know why the agent in this case thinks this is the right person to do it with, for the reasons that you just mentioned. It's like, what makes Swayman the guy that you're going to say, okay, me and my client, Jeremy Swayman, are going to be the ones to do this? It's not set up for the perfect situation to push the market, like you mentioned, Scott. So, so here we are talking about his side and being unreasonable because of what was said by management today.
Well, I think Gross is looking at a rising star in the National Hockey League, playing for a team who traded away the other half of their goalie tandem and, you know, looked at the Bruins in a vulnerable position to maybe get away with this. And it's like, look, there's a fine line between an agent doing his job and a player wanting what's best for them. No one's going to sit here and judge a player for wanting to get paid. This is Swayman's livelihood, and Lewis Gross, as his representative, is doing his job to an extent. But at the end of the day, he's a restricted free agent. He has never played an entire NHL season as a true number one goalie workload, and yeah, they're certainly they're just playing with fire, because I look at Swayman. This offseason, I think, is regardless if he gets paid, it's kind of a loss for him in a way, because if this goes into the regular season, the public perception of him amongst Bruins fans is gonna go down, just because I feel like he ended last season as a massive fan favorite in Boston. People love him. We loved how he played in the playoffs, and we loved his character and his performance since wearing the spoke to be. And here we are now, and you're talking about a fan base that's calling him selfish to an extent in the wake of today's press conferences. And that's just not something that should have happened. Like, I feel like this entire summer has been handled poorly by all involved, between Swayman's comments on the Shut Up Mark podcast, between the Bruins management's last two press conferences going off on Hinge on Spit and Chicklets in the first one, and then Neely kind of doing some public bidding today. It's just gotten really ugly and really public, and it never needed to get to this point. And I feel like Lewis Gross, as Swayman's agent, he is not going to have a fun future dealing with NHL GMs going forward because of the William Nylander saga, this Jeremy Swayman saga. I just feel like GMs around the league are going to hate working with this guy, to the point where it's probably going to be a tough league for him to do his job well in.
Yeah, I'm interested to see like what happens with some of his clients going forward. I mean, obviously, you know, most famously, he's William Nylander's agent, and in 2019 when Nylander was or the 18-19 season when Nylander was a restricted free agent, they dragged it all the way to December 1st and finally took I think it was 8 years or was it 6 years, I forget the exact deal, but like just under $7 million a year on December 1st, like hours before that deadline where Nylander either had to sign or wasn't going to be eligible to play that year. You know, obviously Lewis Gress has continued to do business since then and continued to negotiate and has landed some of his clients, you know, really good deals. And that's why his clients like him. Like, you know, if you're picking Lewis Gross as your agent, it's you are expecting or are planning to play hardball and to try to get top dollar. Like, ultimately, it's the player's call, right? If Swayman called up Lewis Gross today and said, you know what, like, I just want to get in, I just want to play, let's take the 8x8, Lewis Gross might think that's the wrong thing to do. He might say, I really think we should hold out longer, push for more. But ultimately, like, he works for the player. So they go hand in hand. And as long as players like Lewis Gross and like the way he negotiates, GMs aren't going to have an option. Like, what are you, you're just going to stay away from all his clients? He has some of the best players in the game. Like, you can't do that. So you have to deal with it to an extent. The one other thing I would add here, and Jim Montgomery said it, and I don't know if he was intentionally trying to put pressure on Swayman or just stating a fact, but in addition to, you know, basically naming Korpisalo the game one starter, when he was asked about the ramp up period, he also said, like, the longer you go without taking part in NHL practices and games, the longer it takes to ramp up. And I will use William Nylander as an example here, because you know what was the worst season of William Nylander's career? It was the one where he held out until December 1st. He never got going that season. He was like a half a point per game player, like way below his career averages. So if you want like some proof of that, like the last time a player did actually push it 2 months into the season, he never got up to speed. Like, he just had an off year. So I guess if you have the big contract in hand, you know, maybe you don't care about that. But if you care about helping the Bruins win a Stanley Cup this year, like Swayman says he does, you don't want this to be the worst season of your career.
Also, if it does take $9 million to get it done, say somehow they come to this agreement, $8.5 million, $9 million, think about what you have left to work with. Like, you then are in a tough situation in order to add depth on your roster, because you, first of all, that probably means Tyler Johnson's not making the team. Like, you don't have enough space to do much with at the bottom of your roster in terms of an extra skaters. There's really nothing left to be had there. So it does put the team in a worse place too, which is another reason why fans start to turn, because they think, okay, well, maybe be a little bit of a team player and give a little bit of money to be used to help depth this season. Because if you do get more than that $8.5 million, the team's in trouble in terms of cap flexibility and in terms of filling out that last spot, I guess you could say, on the roster.
Do you two feel better or worse after today's press conference that this deal gets done sooner than later? I feel like a little bit better. I think it might get done sooner than I thought.
Well, it certainly didn't sound like there was no one saying it was close, right? Like, they said there's continued conversation, but Sweeney said that since the previous press conference, which was right at the beginning of training camp, about 2 weeks ago, not quite 2 weeks ago, that he didn't have any update besides that. So they've been stuck in that same area since at least then. So it wasn't like they gave an update on some progress, but I think what you're saying, Brian, is that you think this pushes the sides back.
I think, Yeah, I think the game just changed a little bit after today's press conference.
I'll be honest, I kind of wonder if it goes the other way, where like this pisses Swayman off so much that, you know, he either doesn't want to talk for a few days or causes him to dig in even more. Again, starting at the point where, like, I think Neely or someone almost had to do what he did today because they've been getting raked over the coals and in the public eye. And at some point, if you've made what you think is a fair offer and know is a fair offer, at some point, like, you have to push back. You can't just keep allowing it to pile up on you. But I think we know, you know, Swayman's side is pretty dug in. I think we know Swayman takes this stuff personally. How many times did he bring up the arbitration hearing? Unprompted, by the way. Like, you know, Swayman is not afraid to talk, but I get the sense that he does not like when someone else talks from the other side. And like, my reaction to that would be like, well, tough shit. Like, it's a two-way game. But I do think like he's going to be pretty pissed off about today. Like, I don't think it's going to be like, all right, Cam, like, I see you playing hardball. You know what? You called my bluff. Like, let's sit down. Like, I think he's going to be pretty ticked off and like almost more determined to dig in.
It could go that way. Depending on people's personalities. You never know necessarily, but yeah, it could, I don't know how much it damages relationships, like maybe, but to me, it just more feels like, all right, we haven't got anything done. And it's a sign that there really hasn't been much progress recently. I think that this is kind of something that's said in desperation, really. And something that's said because it couldn't be held in any longer. And, you know, maybe it's a lesson to other people that sometimes when you keep playing games as long as Swayman has and as long as both sides have, then things can PR can have to step in and decisions have to be made to try to save someone else's, you know, behind from not looking bad. So we're just at the point where it's gotten messy. It's gotten ugly. It was more than I was expecting to hear today about Swayman. I'm not going to lie. I thought we were going to get a similar line to what Sweeney said the first day of training camp, which was like, I'm going to say this opening statement. That's it. But that's not what happened. And I'm glad. I think that it helps. It helps a lot to kind of have the other side of the story that had been kept quiet.
Well, and the first press conference was just Don and Monty, right?
Yes, no Neely.
So,
which Neely was kind of the one who...
He was probably chomping at the bit.
And you know what? What it came across to me as well was him wanting to defend Don when Don couldn't really defend himself because people wouldn't have received it the same way as Cam coming in and saying he's not been unfair and, you know, we're in communication. It felt like they had his back and wanted everybody to know they had his back and that he wasn't operating like a jerk. And he was doing what he thought was right and what they kind of all agree was fair.
So to my question to you guys, like, I guess I'll just put it this way. It doesn't matter to me how pissed off Jeremy Swayman gets after today's comments, because number one, if they're offering him $64 million, now we don't know how long that offer has been on the table. Scott, you mentioned that earlier, but we do know it's on the table from this day forward. That is more than a fair enough offer. But in my opinion, the simple question that I ask is, who has more to lose if something doesn't happen by December 1st? If Jeremy Swayman does not sign with the Boston Bruins by December 1st, he doesn't play hockey this season. If Jeremy Swayman doesn't sign by December 1st for the Bruins, they just don't get to play hockey with their preferred number one goalie. The player has more to lose this year.
How are Jonas Korpisalo and Brandon Bussey playing the first 2 months?
I don't know. But you know what?
Because if they stink, then the Bruins have a ton to lose.
Yeah, sure, Scott. But you know what? Like, you also still have X amount of cap space to go out there and address other needs for your team that you aren't spending on Swayman now. Like, I'm not saying it's ideal. I'm just saying.
If they stink, then you have to turn around and go trade for another goalie. I mean, your cup window is right now. Like, you can't just punt on a season because Jeremy Swayman didn't want to sign. Brian, you're muted.
Yeah, like, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But, like, simply put, who has more to lose? If you're Jeremy Swayman, you're risking not playing hockey this year, and then you have to go through this again next year.
Yeah,
what if Korpisalo plays really well?
Well, like, yeah, then it swings. Yeah, then it's definitely Swayman, no question about it. Because yeah, it would be unprecedented, like, for a player of his caliber in his prime to sit out a full season would actually be unprecedented. Like, I can't think of a single example of someone who's done that.
And I feel like
maybe you guys can. I can't. And like, that's like, now you're not just talking about throwing out a season. And by the way, Jeremy Swayman today has $8 million on the table that he can make this year and 7 more years after that. If he sits out, he makes $0 this year. So now that's $64 million guaranteed in your life that is on the table right now.
Yep.
If you sit out, okay, there goes $8 million. That's gone. Now you have to, how are you now recouping $64 million? Like, I don't think that deal is going to be there next year. Not sitting out a full year. Like, who's going to come in with that kind of offer and for a guy who just sat a whole year?
His public image takes a massive hit too in the league and in the eyes of the fans, because everybody knows, to what you just said, he has the opportunity to make $64 million. So if he holds out after December 1st, he's taking a massive PR hit. He's losing the actual cash that you're talking about. And he's not gaining he's losing his leverage as a player on the ice, like, everything. I like, obviously the Bruins don't want to play the year without Jeremy Swayman. I understand that completely. But in a situation like this, it gets very petty. And so it comes down to who has more to lose. And like, I think the player has more to lose. Clearly, he can lose $64 million right there. That's generational wealth for himself and his family going forward, because he wants to play hardball and, you know, after already having a more than fair enough deal on the table, and he's trying to reset the market. It's just, it doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to be playing it this way. He just doesn't.
Yeah. And he also likes being liked. Everyone likes being liked. So there's that to lose too. Don Sweeney already knows that fans, for the most part, dislike most of the stuff he does. Like, being a GM, you know, you're going to get crap for all sorts of different stuff, and it's expected. But for Swayman, being a fan favorite is something that he really enjoys, and he likes going out in public and talking to people, and sure would not want that hanging over his head. And I feel like if he sits out a whole season and then you get, like, you're a player, you get to the end of your career and you look back and you go, do I have any regrets? That's going to be a huge regret. Like, I missed this year in my prime. I could have been playing with my best friends that, you know, we could have won a cup together, and maybe that was the year, but we'll never know because the whole team was out of whack because I didn't sign and I missed out on this. I just feel like you would have to look at it and think about what you'll feel about it in the future. Will you regret it? And I think the answer is yes.
So. If he doesn't sign with the Bruins by December 1st, I think you've seen him in his last game as a Bruin. Like, his rights will get traded before he ever signs in Boston again. So there's that. And then once his rights get traded, what's he signing for with the team he hasn't played for before after not playing for a year? Like, it just doesn't. I don't know.
It has a chance to snowball badly.
Yeah. I don't want to overreact until this bleeds into the regular season, because it's still camp and there's still a week to get this done before October 8th. But if this drags out into the, you know, this December 1st deadline, you know, shame on the situation. It's because at this point, it seems like the Bruins have kind of done just about, I mean, they only have so much money to offer the kid. They have a hard cap, and they've already said they've been willing to spend, what, 95% of the remaining cap that they have for him. It's like, come on, you gotta compromise a little bit.
I mean, if they went to the $9.5 million that we've heard, you know, Keith says 10, Friedman and Spitting Chicklets both said it was 9.5. Like, if you go to that number, then the Bruins have to trade someone away. Like, they can't fit that under the cap. So, you know, someone in the who's making somewhere between like 1.5 to 2.5 million getting traded. Like, if that's what happens, so I don't know who that would be. Like, I don't know. Like, Morgan Geeky is in that price range. You know, like, could it be someone like that? Like, it would be a good player, so it would hurt the team. Yeah, I don't know, but it's gonna be fascinating to see where it goes from here. Like, I wonder if we hear from Swayman. You know, we know he's not. There aren't any press conferences or media scrums because he's not on the team, so there's none of that through the Bruins. Does he go on some other podcast? Does
there's
he
an
find
open
a way
invite
to get
here?
Yeah, of course. If Jeremy Swayman, if you're listening, you're welcome to come on anytime. But does he find a way to respond, or is this kind of radio silence for a while now? Like, it's going to be fascinating.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna go on a limb here and say that something gets done in the next week. I just don't. The longer this lingers, especially after today's theatrics but also tactics. Like, there is legit public pressure and knowledge now on the situation as it pertains to Jeremy Swayman's camp. So he can be pissed off. He can dig his feet in the sand even deeper. But at the end of the day, it's the Jacobs that are signing his check. Like. You can't burn bridges, especially when those bridges are your direct bosses at this point and until further notice, at least for a couple of years. So,
by the way, it also, you know, like if he gets traded or whatever, ends up somewhere else, like grass isn't always greener. Maybe he gets closer to the money that he wants, but are you on a winning team? Like he doesn't have any trade protection, so he wouldn't have any say over where it is. So, you know, I don't know. Like, he's someone who last year I remember talking about, like the Bruins culture and how he was, you know, he was learning from like guys who had been around the league that it's not like that everywhere. And it's like, well, you know, like that might come at some level of personal sacrifice, right? Like, you know, at some point he might have to make the decision here very soon as to what's more important, being a Boston Bruin or getting top dollar and resetting the market. Like it kind of feels like that's now very clearly the decision that he's kind of faced with.
So what you're saying is, you know, maybe try to send him over to Anaheim for John Gibson and Trevor Zegras.
Yeah. I think that's a very different life out there than here for sure.
Yeah. Yep. But we'll see how it plays out, guys. It's fascinating. Yeah. I'm surprised it's gotten this public, this theatric,